Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Columbus Landmarks Foundation's annual City Hop is scheduled for this weekend, and the event is a great reason to talk about downtown living. Is it the dream alive, or is it an accumulation of mostly empty shells? So later on, we'll talk to a real estate analyst who specializes in assessing the viability of America's downtowns, and we'll also meet a longtime downtown resident and a member of the Downtown Residents Association of Columbus. But now we're going to talk with City Hop and Columbus Landmarks. We're going to talk about the City Hop and Columbus Landmarks Foundation's hopes for the downtown Columbus with Kathy Mast Kane. She's the executive director of Columbus Landmarks Foundation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome.
Appreciate it. Big weekend ahead.
Big weekend.
It's not just a tour anymore. It's a lot more than that.
It's all about experiencing downtown living. It's so much more than, are you in the market for a condo? It's about understanding how downtown has transitioned in the last 11 or more years since we first started showcasing the concept of what it's like to live downtown. And it's experiencing that. It's setting the lawnmower aside for the day and coming down umbrella or not, and seeing how another half of the city lives, or another portion of the city lives in population. Downtown has become essentially a new neighborhood for Columbus. Columbus, from a preservation perspective, our neighborhoods are one of our richest resources in terms of cohesive building stock, fabric, history, texture, quality. And what's been exciting from a preservationist perspective is to watch that development of downtown become one of those vital neighborhoods as well.
So even though we're in a down economy, Kathy, things look bleak all over the place these days. Are the hopes and dreams for – is it on schedule? Is it going where you hoped it would go, 11, 12 years ago?
I think Ken's probably a better person to talk to about that schedule of the market. But I think what's important to us is that it is alive. It is vital. It is working. People are living downtown. People are gathering together after work and going out to dinner. And there's that energy and synergy being created by more and more people moving into the downtown area, whether they're owning, whether they're renting. And it's that vibrancy. It's that healthy mix of things happening in the downtown that anyone wants to see to create a better built environment for the city and a better quality of life for its citizens.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Kathy Mast Kane. She's executive director of Columbus Landmarks Foundation. And when she referred to Ken, she was referring to Ken Danter. He's a real estate analyst and president of Danter Company, the firm hired by the city of Columbus to assess its downtown viability, and we'll be having him on in the next segment. So we look forward to talking to him about that. So if you have a question or comment for Kathy, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and my associate producer, Amy Jurevich, will be checking that periodically. Kathy, there have been some losses lately. Downtown.
There are always losses.
There are always losses. There are always losses. The Centenary United Methodist Church in the King Lincoln District, it was a key to redevelopment plans in that historic neighborhood, but a crew demolished it in May after engineers determined that it was unsafe. How does this, when something like that happens, what are the reverberations?
Well, I think it's just such a missed opportunity. What we need to help educate people about is, by tearing down just one building, it's not just the loss of the bricks and mortar from that one structure. It's the loss of a history, a culture. Every building has a story to tell. Every community has a story to tell. And so as those pieces come down, once gone, it's such a permanent impact on a community. And it's so much more than just the building itself and its stories, but goes beyond that to the impact on East Long Street in this case, and or the neighborhood in this case, the broader neighborhood, as that fabric is torn down and then frequently nothing goes in its place. It just disintegrates the environment. It doesn't build on or help create a new energy on the things that are happening in the Near East Side. So the losses are so permanent. The losses are so much more than just the building itself. I think that those are some of the critical messages.
You know, listeners might recognize Kathy's voice from the Columbus Neighborhoods documentary on the Short North. And when you were specifically talking about the train station,
mm-hmm.
I learned so much about the city of Columbus just from that one segment about how the city of Columbus developed and that sort of a thing. And that's kind of what brought about the Columbus Landmarks Foundation in the first place, right?
Absolutely. Landmarks was founded in 1977 in response to the demolition of the Union Station. And with some foresight, I might add, not just as a preservation organization promoting the preservation, of course, of our cultural and historical and architectural resources, but with a twofold mission to also promote quality new urban design in the city. And that twofold mission is City Hop is an embodiment of that mission, as well as our Design and Preservation Awards program in the fall. So the idea is about the built environment as a whole and the quality of life as a whole, not just about the individual buildings and their losses. But Union Station was a huge loss, and it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Columbus Landmarks Foundation, it's not downtown Columbus Landmarks Foundation, it's Columbus Landmarks Foundation. And so you really are trying to connect a very large city with itself.
Absolutely. And like I said, from a preservation perspective, because preservation hasn't been that philosophy or ethos of the city of Columbus historically, 60s, 70s, a lot of demolition. There's a lot of parking lots out there. But forget what I was saying.
About connecting the city. But
what we have had to celebrate and what is so rich, as I mentioned before, are our neighborhoods. And what's exciting now is to be able to talk about the downtown as one of those in that full mix. But yes, we definitely are looking. I mean, the health of the neighborhoods directly impact the health of the downtown as much as a vitality and an economically viable solution to downtown living and economic development downtown itself.
What's missing downtown, in your opinion? What does it need?
I think it needs more people, more operations. These things all build on themselves, of course. More businesses in operation, longer hours. And as a downtown resident, Kevin may want to chip in. And it needs to look at every single building as a resource, not necessarily all historic buildings. And what we mean by historic means something different to everybody. But looking at all of that existing infrastructure, those existing buildings, as an opportunity to reuse, adaptively use, and foster the sustainability of that downtown. It's those layers of the city's history that make it interesting, whether you're in Europe or whether you're in Columbus, Ohio. And so those different textures, the styles, the ages of the buildings that are a composite of where we've come from and a projection of where we're going. So it's that healthy mix. And to look at all of those buildings, and there are still so many opportunities downtown for additional revitalization, rehabilitation, and adaptive use of existing structures.
How important is it that more people live downtown? How important is it that they live there?
Well, I think what is important about renting versus owning in terms of ownership is that that provides that stable foundation of investment in the downtown. And then those people who've made that investment want to further nurture the success and viability of the community. So I think that ownership plays an important piece, but it's the volume of people that will make a difference to the success of the rejuvenation, so to speak, of the downtown.
When people have gone on the City Hop in previous years, what are they asking about? What are they curious about?
I do think it's a lot of curiosity seekers. I think that's a good sense of the word. I think there are serious people looking at exploring the alternative to downtown living, but we want it to be more about that experience. And so they're wanting to know, I'm sure as residents, they're frequently asked, where do you get your groceries? What do you do about parking? What do you do about your dog? And how do you live the lifestyle that we're accustomed to living in an environment that's like downtown? And I think those are some of the proverbial questions that are asked of those folks. But I think also wanting to explore the variety, which clearly the market's calling out for a lot of the homesteaders in the downtown living movement have made huge investments in their properties. And to be able to expose a broader population, a more affordable product to a broader population is certainly something that those folks are looking for and exploring and investigating. So some are seriously looking to rent, own. Others are just curiosity seekers wanting to know how the other half lives. And others are just out, just whether they're taking like a neighborhood walking tour of ours or they're doing a downtown living tour. It's to see what's out there. It's to explore. It's to experience.
So is it just going to be going from residence to residence, or what's involved in the tour this year?
Yeah, the tour has our ticket stop at 45 North 4th and Neighborhood Launch is where everybody will be processing through, whether you've purchased tickets online or whether you're buying them the day of. It starts there. They receive a guidebook, and that guidebook is a self-guided walking tour. So you can go to any or all of the sites that you choose in any order. And there's descriptions within the guidebook about what properties are available for viewing. And some of them are lived-in units, and some of them are models, and some of them are rental properties. So there's a wide range of what people can see. But literally, it is a city hop from one location to another. And what we're hoping, we are instituting a new piece this year called I Spy, a scavenger hunt, to encourage people. It's just some photograph details of different components of the buildings within the tour or within downtown along the route of the tour. And the idea is to not just railroad your way through as fast as you can to every single property and see if you can get done in an hour, but to actually sit back and try and relax and enjoy the experience and think about that lifestyle of living downtown.
So you look for these details, and do you get a prize?
You do get a prize.
Yes. I like prizes.
Prizes include gift certificates to Do Amici or Barrio restaurants, and we also have the Columbus and the Ohio State University Then and Now books available for five of the scavenger hunt winners.
And how much does it cost?
To participate in the tour?
Yes.
The tour is in advance, $12 for members of Columbus Landmarks Foundation, $15 for non-members. And if you choose to buy tickets the day of the event at 45 North 4th, the tickets for everyone are $18.
And they can go to what website to learn more?
www.columbuslandmarks.org.
Columbuslandmarks.org. We'll have that on our website as well at wosu.org/allsides. We're going to take a quick break, but in the meantime, you might want to get out your phone and punch the number 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org if you have a question or comment. Kathy Mast-Kane of Columbus Landmarks Foundation will stay with us for the hour. And joining us next, Ken Danter of Danter Company. And later on, Kevin Wood, a resident of Downtown Residents and a member of the Downtown Residents Association of Columbus. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. With All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
California dreamin', viva Las Vegas, Carolina in my mind. The political junkie's got a 10-state primary medley. I'm Neil Conan. Ken Rudin brings us results and analysis. The political junkie on the busiest week of the primary season, and of course a trivia question. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And Talk of the Nation begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 65 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:20 this morning. Showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some of those thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall, a high of 78 degrees. Clouds tonight with still a slight chance of rain, a low of 58. Sunshine for Thursday and a high of 82. And sunshine on Friday with a high of 87. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining me now, Ken Danter. He's a real estate analyst and president of Danter Company. The firm has been hired by the city of Columbus to assess its downtown viability. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You've analyzed downtown Columbus and other downtowns around the country. What are the main factors, common factors in a successful downtown in 2010?
We've really identified about 23 different items on a checklist that we look at when we evaluate a downtown. And then clearly things like downtown employment and near downtown employment lead the charge there. But other things, the presence of colleges and universities put a lot of people on the street, make a lot of people familiar with the downtown. One of the big things that we look at is the number and volume of traffic generated by downtown events in Columbus, the Red, White, and Boom, for example, and the Arts Festival, and all the things that go on downtown make people who generally live in the suburbs very familiar with the downtown. So they know where to park, they know where to turn left, they know where the one-way streets are. And with that familiarity becomes then an acceptance of downtown, and the next step is looking at a lifestyle.
It's kind of strange. I was going to bring this up with Kathy Mascain a few minutes ago. It's like we have to be retaught how to appreciate our downtowns. It's like we need to be retaught how to walk or something.
That's exactly right. We've been in the suburbs for so long, but what we are finding is that more and more people just from a demographic standpoint, we would consider to be suburban residents are moving to the downtown. It's not just the urban pioneer.
Now, how do you define downtown as it pertains to Columbus?
That's a great question, and I think you can ask a half a dozen people and get a half a dozen answers. If you strictly look at the Central Business District, I don't think that does justice to Columbus and what we have to offer. I think you have to look at the surrounding neighborhoods and make that a part of your downtown. You know, if you simply look at the Central Business District, we have very little shopping, very little in the way of restaurants and bars, very little in the way of galleries. But if you look at all of the surrounding neighborhoods, all of a sudden, just by definition, we have much better shopping, our restaurants, bars, and entertainment skies. You know, in places like Boston, for example, you would probably refer to Ohio State as a great downtown university. That for some reason we have trouble bridging that gap here. But I really believe that when people walk to work, they think they live downtown. And actually in the survey that we conducted of downtown residents, a huge share of people who live in the surrounding neighborhoods feel that they live downtown. It's an urban lifestyle.
How much does the transportation situation in Columbus contribute to that connectivity or lack thereof?
Well, I think that it's probably important. We have case studied a number of cities from the standpoint of transportation, especially when we were involved in the streetcar project. And what we find in Columbus is, even though we have, for example, great supermarket choices as it impacts the downtown neighborhoods, 90% of the people still use their car to go to the supermarket. I think it's something that when we plan for downtown neighborhoods, whether it be in the Central Business District or not, we have to accommodate the automobile. In Portland, which probably has the best transportation, they have streetcars, they have light rail, and a very good bus system, we still see a lot of people who use their automobile to get around and do things. Now, we're not New York, and we're a long ways from being New York. And I think that other than those kinds of markets like New York or Chicago, we still have to accommodate the car. And actually, 40% of the people who live downtown work outside the downtown. So they're driving to work just like you and I do.
How does Columbus stack up then, as you've analyzed downtowns around the country over the last several years?
Well, looking at our checklist of 23, Columbus probably rates as high as any city we've looked at.
Are you just saying that because you live here, Ken?
No,
I'm just
not.
A little biased.
As a matter of fact, when we do work in other cities, and I make a comparison, I use Columbus as a case study, and we'll have a client tell us that they think they're going to do X or Y or Z, and it's so preposterous. And I hold out Columbus and I say, look, here are the items that we evaluate on. Here's the score for Columbus. Here's the score for your city. And you think that you're going to outperform what's going on in Columbus, and yet you don't measure up on all of these criteria. And we make that comparison. So, no, Columbus is great. I'm glad I live here. And it's a great case study for us to use in other markets.
But what has Columbus done wrong? If you go back and say, nah, don't do that. Mistake.
Oh, boy, that would be tough to say. You know, I see so many things that we've done right. I would love to see us have a streetcar system. I think that would be great for Columbus. We look at streetcars as an economic development generator as much as it is a circulator.
You know, again, we're not talking about Rice-A-Roni streetcars either. We're talking about Portland-style streetcars.
Right.
Right. And how is that an economic generator? Could you, that fixed route aspect, can you explain that?
Well, what we see is that Columbus or any downtown, excuse me for that matter, it's a big area. And if you really want to develop something in a downtown area, where do you make your choice? What neighborhood do you pick? And you know, a lot of them, while there are some unique neighborhoods, there's a lot of similarities in terms of proximity to downtown and to the central business district and things like that. When you have a defined route streetcar, all of a sudden it makes it real clear where that development is going to occur. And what we saw in Portland and actually the other markets that we case studied was that development begins to concentrate around that streetcar line and then expand out. And it creates an interest and creates a momentum and displays a commitment on the part of the community that we're serious about our downtown. And that attracts development and focuses development when it comes in.
Because unlike, say, a bus route, a fixed route won't change.
That's
the idea of it, that it won't change. So you don't have to worry about the bus stop moving.
Exactly. And you know when you get on that streetcar, it's going to be on that track. So, you know, you may not end up in you know, Worthington or Beachwald or wherever. Mm-hmm. You've got a track map and you know exactly where it's going to go. It's going to come back here.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Ken Danter. He's president of the Danter Company. He's a real estate analyst, and his firm was hired by the City of Columbus to assess the downtown viability here. If you have a question or comment for Ken or also for Kathy Mascain, she's still in the studio with me from Columbus Landmarks Foundation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page if you're into Facebook. Downtown, how important is the mix? Is there still too much luxury available and not enough affordable housing? How does that mix play out in those 23 items in terms of residential living?
I think that mix is extremely important. When we did our first major downtown study it was about 2000 or 2001, we had projected that we could achieve an absorption of 500 units a year within 5 years. And actually, at about 4 years, we hit that 500. In that assumption, it was that we would have a full array of product choices for rent, for sale. There would be lofts. There would be conventional units. There would be the urban-style redevelopment over existing storefronts, some historic buildings, and a wide range of price points. We achieved the 500 units, but we never penetrated to lower price points, either for rent or for sale. So we way outperformed our expectations at the top end and underperformed at the bottom end because the product just wasn't brought online. So I think that speaks very well for Columbus, but it also says that given the current economic conditions, we probably also overbuilt at the high end. We now have more popular priced product coming in at the lower end of the market, and it's doing very well. I think we've only scratched the surface of the potential for that type of product, though.
Does it make a difference how much is owner-occupied and how much is rental?
Not really. Usually, and this is another place that Columbus is unique, usually renters lead the charge. You're only risking a year, so you can afford to be a little more on the edge, as opposed to if you're buying, you're setting yourself up for 3, 4, 5 or more years in terms of your commitment. So we usually see renters lead the charge, but in Columbus it was actually ownership that led the charge by default because we just didn't have that much renter product coming online.
614-292-8513. If you have an idea for how to make downtown more livable, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Barbara, you're on the air. You have an idea.
I do. I've considered moving downtown, but there's one thing that I really would love to see that would kind of maybe push me to move downtown would be storefront supermarkets that are small, not like mega stores where you have to have a huge parking lot, but one you could just access by foot from the street, sort of like what you might see in New York or Europe, in larger cities in Europe. And do you see that as a possibility in Columbus?
How important are those kinds of grocery stores to downtown living?
Well, it's going to be very difficult to develop in that direction, because when you've said that, what you've really said is that, well, I'm not going to use my car for grocery shopping.
I prefer not to. Yeah.
Right, but when you go to those storefronts and you say, okay, this is a great produce and meat store or whatever, but now I need to go find paper towels. We don't have a paper towel store downtown. Ultimately, out of storefronts, you're not going to be able to complete your entire basket. So it's still going to require that you get in your car. The second thing that I would say is that we don't have, and it's unlikely that we're going to have, a walk-to density that will support that kind of a store in a market like Columbus. Remember, it takes a 1,000 uncontested households to support a basic convenience store.
Don't think of it as a convenience store at all. I think of it as a full service, however smaller than what you would get that you would have.
Now we're taking tens of thousands of people to support that kind of a store, which you get in a New York where you have densities that are extremely high, and we just don't have and unlikely to have those kinds of densities in Columbus. So we just don't have the dollars within a walkable distance to support that size of a store.
Barbara, is that a deal killer for you if there isn't a grocery store like that?
It kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too bad, but if I had that kind of an option in the downtown, I would definitely, that would push me over the edge to live downtown.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. When we come back from our next break, we're not taking a break yet. But when we do, we're going to hear from Kevin Wood. He's a resident of downtown. He's a member of the Downtown Residents Association of Columbus, and we'll hear some of his strategies for living downtown. Ken, how does Columbus do in terms of its downtown housing incentives, the sorts of incentives the city and state offer to develop the downtown?
We see that there are some incentives for downtown. The incentives are as varied across the country as there are cities. A lot of the things that happen in some markets just by statute can't happen here. I think with the tools that we have available, Columbus does a pretty good job. You know, one of the things that I would say that I think is really unique about Columbus and has done a lot to generate the success that we've had, and that's the number of significant projects like the Arena District, like the new apartments and condos on the riverfront, like the things that occur, some of the bigger projects in the neighborhoods. It enables people who may not be quite the urban pioneer to make a housing choice in the downtown area that isn't too unlike what they may already expect in the suburbs. And while that doesn't really speak to some of the housing that we would like to see occur, mm-hmm. it does generate a lot of traffic and a lot of interest. It makes it easy for the senior couple living in Reynoldsburg to say, hey, we'd like to live downtown. We've never done that. Looks like a neat lifestyle. And they come down and they find something that kind of meets their comfort level. You don't find that in a lot of downtowns where the only choices may be the three-story walk-up in the renovated storefront on what would be Long Street or Spring Street or someplace like that in Columbus. But we have so many choices here with all the different types of housing that we find there's something for everybody. And now with the more popular prices, it's an even wider range of choices.
614-292-8513. If you have an idea for how to improve downtown, make it more livable, give us a call. And Tom, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I just want to say that when I was growing up, downtown was one of our destinations on the weekends. They had a number of small businesses there. I remember the Lazarus store during Christmas time. You know, we had 7 children in our family. We would ride the bus down. Are you there?
Yeah.
And we would ride the bus down and get off at the bus, and our parents would put us in front of a big window display there of the, you know, Christmas Toyland, and we'd watch all that go, and that was just fascinating. And they were able to go get presents and stuff, and then also, you know, they had a kid's Toyland there where you could go in with $5 and just spend about everything. And I remember the Planner's Peanut Store.
It's still there.
They had down there. Yeah, it's still there. But we'd get a gigantic bag of peanuts. My dad, if he needed shoe sticks, there was a place where you could have your shoes. You could get everything downtown.
Yeah.
And one of my fondest memories was a movie that was called That Darn Cat by Walt Disney at the Palace Theater matinee. And that was my first time in the Palace Theater. And that was just wonderful. And what I'm saying is, you know, they need to bring community-based business to the downtown, too, to support the people that are living there. Because, really, they don't have that at the time. They have really no stores, you know, where they can buy clothes. They have some restaurants and stuff. But, you know, Woolworths was there. You could get anything you wanted
there.
Well,
the CVS is there now.
Yeah, CVS is there now.
But there's no counter service.
Yeah, right. There's not really, you know, any service. And, you know, it was just, you know, it was a kid's wonderland when I was growing up. And, you know, and they've done great improvements downtown, but I still feel they need to bring back something like Lazarus or something. And they have tore down a lot of Columbus's heart from some of the buildings that they have tore down.
Tom, do you really think that bringing a Lazarus downtown can real? I mean, of course, Lazarus doesn't exist anymore, but something like it can compete with the suburban malls at this point? Because obviously the city center didn't cut it.
Well, the city was a mistake.
Well,
you know, just like the convention center was a mistake. Yeah, that was the railway station when it was there, and that was one of the most beautiful places in the world. I don't know if you've ever been to Cincinnati.
You know what? We're losing you, Tom. But thanks for calling. We just lost you completely. Thanks for calling in. That's a good time for a break anyway. If you want to call us and tell us what you think would make downtown a better place to live, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu. And Ken Danter, I want to thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. We're going to take a break now. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Corporate partners help provide support for WOSU 820. Your business can join them and reach an educated, engaged, appreciative audience every day. Your business will also be associated with a trusted source for national and local news, arts, and culture. For more information, contact Christine Schottich at 247-4469. And thanks for supporting WOSU 820, NPR News.
You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News, and in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides will be here. As graduation day approaches, we'll hear two points of view about the value of a college degree for the individual and for society. That discussion begins at 11 right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. You can hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archive shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at WOSU.org/allsides. And it's 66 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:40. Showers and thunderstorms today. Some of those storms may produce heavy rainfall, a high right around 78. Clouds tonight, a low of 58 degrees. Sunshine for Thursday and a high of 82. And more sunshine on Friday and with a high of 87. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us now is Kevin Wood. He's the former president, right, of the Downtown Residents Association of Columbus, and still a resident, however, and member of the group, I imagine. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you, Ann.
Appreciate it. And also with us, Kathy Mast-Kane of Columbus Landmarks Foundation. The foundation is sponsoring its annual City Hop this weekend, and you can learn more about that. Go to WOSU.org/allsides, and we'll have a link to the Columbus Landmarks Foundation website so you can learn more about the City Hop this weekend. Kicks off with some kind of to-do on Friday night. So if you're into to-dos, you might want to check that right away and book it. Kevin, you know, you just heard a couple ideas about what would make downtown a better place to live. And we've heard the Lazarus refrain many times, and I don't think anybody disagrees. Wouldn't it be nice to go back to the good old days? But what's it like living downtown without a Lazarus? Is it so horrible?
No, you know, I think, I mean, you know, I would love to, or I reminisce about Lazarus being downtown as well, and City Center. However, we have many exciting things going on downtown. And I think, like Ken alluded to, the fact that 10 years ago when there was kind of a burst of residential development downtown, the fact that the majority of people who moved downtown were, like myself, people who bought. I mean, we made our largest life's investment in our homes downtown. Even as City Center was on the wane and some of those things were happening, really shows that there was and is a real pent-up demand for people who do want to live in an urban setting. And Barbara, the caller earlier, referenced a market. I can walk or ride my bike to the North Market, which is one of the greatest markets we have in the city, mm-hmm. As well as to the new Kroger's in the Brewery District or the Neal Avenue, Giant Eagle.
There's also, actually, now that I think about it, there is a farmer's market during the summer as well. On Tuesdays.
Right.
Is it Tuesdays and Fridays?
Yes, Tuesdays and Fridays. I was there at lunch yesterday with some coworkers who used to work downtown, and they were shocked at the fact that there were 8 restaurants with patio dining on Gay Street that was just hopping yesterday, and the farmer's market that runs from Broad to Gay and spills out onto both of those streets. It was just literally hundreds of people, and was very active. And so there obviously is a lot that we want to see happen downtown and that the city and private developers are working to make happen. So I think we can't lose sight of that. And although I certainly appreciate reminiscing about Lazarus, I think we need to look forward at what we want to see happen in the future.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. What's your idea for making downtown more livable in 2010? Maybe we can't go back, but what, looking forward, can we do? Kevin, you grew up in a suburb?
I grew up on a farm in southeastern Ohio, actually, and I have lived in Columbus 24 years now.
So was urban living a fantasy of yours?
I've pretty much the entire 24 years I've lived in Columbus, I've lived in Schumacher Place, Victorian Village, renovated homes. And so although my family is still in southeastern Ohio, I have deep roots there, and I'm there quite often. I also like the urban setting, so I kind of like the two extremes, I guess.
What pushed you, you know, what was the tipping point for you in deciding to buy downtown?
Well, as I said, I owned a home in Schumacher Place mm-hmm. for several years and then in Victorian Village. And I really have always appreciated the older historic neighborhoods and the value, the sense of place that you get in those neighborhoods. As obviously thousands of people in Central Ohio do. And although I loved living in those neighborhoods and the fact that we do have the German Villages and the Short North and Old Town and all those great surrounding neighborhoods in our city, that really made the leap to downtown living much more doable. And I think a lot of people, who live downtown, maybe came from some of those surrounding neighborhoods. And so it just really – it makes it safer. It makes it cleaner. And so although I lived in those old historic neighborhoods, I always had kind of fantasized, I think, about living amongst the skyscrapers and having the fabulous view of the Leveque Tower out my bedroom window being able to walk easily to German Village or the Short North or any of those other great places. I mean, I just...
Not having to drive home after Red, White, and Boom.
Oh, yes.
That
I don't set foot out of my building on Red, White, and Boom.
What building do you live in?
I live in the Exchange Urban Lofts, which was built in 1913, and it was always the phone company until 03, I believe, when they converted it to lofts. And it's a great location. My window looks out onto 3rd and Gay, which has changed immensely in the 6 years I've lived there. I played a game with myself where I would look out the window on a Sunday morning and see how long it would take to see a body. And now there are people 7 days a week, thanks to the restaurants and especially along Gay Street. It's really become a center.
I remember one day I worked on a Sunday and forgot to bring my lunch. And I was all shook up because I don't miss meals. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do? Where am I going to eat? And then I realized, oh, no, they actually are open on Sundays now. There's restaurants that are open on Gay Street on Sundays. No big deal. They don't have to be packed and crowded.
That's
They're just
right.
open.
Yes.
How do you meet? What's it like? Does it really feel like a neighborhood yet?
You know, I think that it does to me. I mean, we have pockets downtown, I think. And as Ken alluded to, our downtown is huge. The central business district is vast. And so in the last 10 years, a lot of the residential development has really been spread out from the Arena District to the southeast corner of downtown, the central area, northeast. You know, I've often said if we could take all of the residential development that's occurred and that exists downtown and kind of scrunch it up into half the area or a third of the area that it currently sits in downtown, it would feel much more dense. But we do have areas, the Gay Street area, for example, from 60 Spring down to 15 East Gay and Exchange Lofts, Carlisle's Watch, Brunson. I mean, there is a pretty dense population in that area. And when I'm out walking, I'm constantly running into neighbors that I know in different buildings, and it more and more each year feels definitely like a neighborhood.
We're talking about downtown Columbus. What would make it a place you would like to live, or what will make it a viable place to live in the future? My guest is Kevin Wood. He's lived downtown since, is it 2003 or 2004? 2004. Something of a latter-day downtown pioneer, I guess, and has worked to generate interest in the place he has come to call his neighborhood. Also with us, Kathy Mast-Kane of Columbus Landmarks Foundation. It's hosting its annual City Hop this weekend. If you want to know more about that, go to WOSU.org/allsides, and we'll have a link there for you. If you want to tell us what you think would make downtown a better place to live, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@WOSU.org, as has Bob. He writes, I was watching Channel 10's 2015 special recently. The goal has to be to improve this region, but lining up people who already live here to assert how nice the region is isn't likely to attract people to Columbus. If Ohio wants people to move here, we will need to go to other places and listen to what people there have to say about Central Ohio. In my view, Ohio will never catch up without altering itself down to its roots. Do you agree, Kathy?
I'm not sure I'm following that comment.
I think it's two different comments, I suppose. One is about having to go outside to find out what people's impressions are of Columbus. The other one is that Ohio will never catch up without altering itself down to its roots. I guess I'm not sure what that means either. I guess we're talking about moving forward. You can't go back. Can you go back and remake an entire city from scratch?
Well, no, and nor do I think you would want to. I was just wanting to thank Tom for his memories. They just resonate with so many of us with downtown Lazarus, and we're all nodding our heads. And you could do a whole show just sharing those memories. But I think it's about building new institutions and new memories and new populations and integrating the old and the new, but not letting go of that past and building it into a future plan and design for the community.
What do you think Columbus has done very well on that score?
Well, I think every example of an existing building being reused or restored, from something as grand as our State House on Capitol Square to something as vernacular as a background, as what we would call a background building that's being converted to a couple of lofts and a restaurant, for example. It again is that combination, that mix that is what results in a successful product, I think.
What's your favorite downtown building?
Well, that's hard, but I think particularly with the announcement of a recent grant to do a documentary on Levesque Tower, it's hard for me not to stroke her, so to speak.
Good old Levesque Tower.
Good old Levesque Tower. It's just, you know, it's an identifying landmark in our skyline and has such great stories to tell. And we're very excited about pulling that documentary together and sharing it with the city.
614-292-8513. Kevin, what has been the biggest improvement in downtown Columbus since you moved there in 2004? And I guess when we're defining downtown right now, but since you did live in the Short North area, we're talking about the center.
Well, I guess if I had to point to one thing that I feel has been a game changer, it would be the mayor and the city's 2001, I believe it was, downtown plan, which Ken Danter was involved in. And that was the first time in a long time, I believe, that the city had made a concerted effort to look at where we are today, what is the potential demand for downtown housing, and then put into place tangible goals and priorities and incentives to promote that. And, for example, the tax abatements and the different things like that that definitely resulted in private developers putting tens of millions of dollars into the downtown and creating all of the new and converted residential units that are here today.
There was a series of downtown Columbus strategic planning meetings recently or earlier this year in the spring. Does it feel like you live in a place with a focus on the future then? Did you go to any of those meetings? And
yes, I did. And actually, it was really exciting to me because I saw – being in the Downtown Residents Association, we have a lot of repeat members who come to our monthly meetings, but we're also constantly having some new faces. But going to those public meetings and seeing all the different people that I don't normally see at, you know, the regular circles I travel in, and hearing their passionate ideas and suggestions and comments was really encouraging to me. And I think that the city was even surprised at the number of people who attended those meetings. The ideas and comments and the hopes and dreams for our downtown is really encouraging and resulted in some great ideas. And I think that since we have seen that the last plan that was done 9 or 10 years ago has had definite positive results, I think we kind of have a little bit of a sense of can-do spirit that, you know, it may not be a crazy idea to do this, that, or the other. I mean, we should dream big.
We have an email from Chris. If you'd like to email us, allsides@wosu.org is the address. This one's from Chris regarding enhancing downtown revitalization. Columbus occupies an enviable position in this regard because of the openness on all sides, no pun intended, haha, Chris, of its downtown area and the nearness of truly desirable neighborhoods. What do you think about the openness on all sides of its downtown area? Do you agree that that's a problem?
I guess I'll take
that
first.
Or is that
first.
Good? I mean, I guess it's enviable is
right.
What Chris is saying.
One of the things that came from the recent downtown meetings is MSI, the landscape architect firm, that architecture firm that facilitated those meetings. One of the most memorable slides that they presented at one of those meetings was three different views of aerial views of downtown. One today, one 40 years ago, and one 80 years ago. And the vast number of buildings that have been lost over that 80 years was really astonishing to see on paper. But the end result of that is we have seen in the last 8-10 years some new build construction. For example, the neighborhood launch development at 4th and Gay, which is a huge positive factor on downtown in general and residential in particular, and will cover 9 city blocks with just a beautiful development that is definitely going to change and create a whole neighborhood. But there is a lot of potential, and I think developers, residents, the citizens see there's a lot of potential for us to define our city for the next century by determining what goes in where today there may be a parking lot.
Why is it important for cities to invest in their downtown residential viability? Why not just have jobs downtown and leave it at that? What does it matter?
Well, you know,
except for the fact that you live downtown.
I go back to you know, when we see the city of Columbus, whether it's in a nationally televised OSU football game or a national conference that's here, you know, we always see that picture of the skyline, of the downtown skyline, and that really is the heart of the city. It's the representation of the city. And I think cities have seen over the recent decades that you do need to have more than just an office environment that clears out at night. And again, you know, having all the healthy neighborhoods that we have around our downtown has really made it to a lot of people, I think, very easy to consider moving downtown. And it just gives it a sense of life. It adds to the arts and the cultural amenities that we have there and kind of builds upon itself. And I think that's what will lead to the resurgence of independent retailers and things like that coming back downtown.
We've run out of time. I just want to thank my guests, Kathy Mast-Kane of Columbus Landmarks Foundation. Kathy, keep directing people to the website about that City Hop tonight this weekend.
Thank you so much. And that conversation with people like Kevin can be continued on at our dinner parties after rooftop party to really experience what it's like downtown.
All righty. And maybe you can meet Kevin Wood at the City Hop this weekend. Thank you, Kevin, for being with us today.
Thank you, Ann.
We've run out of time. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.